For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Third, for 30 years, I have withdrawn thousands of dollars in cash from my personal savings account, which I have kept for emergencies and because of the history of my family facing confiscation in Cuba.
Oh my gosh.
This may seem old-fashioned, but these were monies drawn from my personal savings account based on the income that I have lawfully derived over those 30 years. I look forward to addressing other issues at trial.
Well, there you go. What in the hell was that? What in the world? That's Senator Robert Goldbars there, who I don't know what. I have no clue. That was just, he just gave those remarks, by the way, and he was speaking about these indictments that are against him. So I mean, I don't know. I got notes here, but we just had a major computer malfunction right at the start of the radio program. Yay! Maybe Radio America won't do something about it. Whole thing with Bob Menendez, Bob Goldbars Menendez, he gave these remarks this morning. And I guess he was trying to reset the narrative here. I'm not quite sure. I guess he was trying to reset the narrative as to what these indictments were about.
He's trying to inject what's called reasonable doubt.
Yeah, well, that was one of the lamest things that I've ever heard in my life. Well, you know, I did all of these things because because my family, my history with Cuba, etc. I don't know. This is just bad. It's bad. So his remarks there, and I had some other notes on, because he said some pretty wild stuff. Like the first and four, I mean, that's just, you know, here's the thing though. I have a friend who is from Cuba, and she doesn't do this kind of stuff. Right. She doesn't like break the law and do all of these things. So I don't understand what the whole, I mean, he actually said that.
And it still doesn't explain where the gold bars come from. And the media was asking him that when he was ending his little speech, and he completely just walked away. If you want to hear,
yeah, let's that. Listen to this.
Esta semana para hacer exactamente eso. Thank you very much.
Where did the gold bars come from?
Yeah, there you go.
He does not want to answer that.
No, he does not want to answer it at all. He does not want to answer it. He doesn't want to answer a single question. So I the whole thing to me is, that was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. Well, I did these criminal things because, you know, Cuba. So, yeah. Welcome to the show. It's Monday. God help us all. Dana Lash here with you. And always appreciate our time together, even when I want to shoot my computer. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, watch the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV. I don't know. This is not how I wanted to start my Monday, listening to this guy make these horrible excuses. It's so bad. It's just so bad. And he hired, I was trying to pull this up when everything literally just like fritzed out. You know, he hired Hunter Biden's lawyer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Looking for that Hunter privilege.
that Hunter privilege. He hired Hunter Biden's lawyer to defend him from these charges that prosecutors filed on Friday. He hired Abby Lowell. That's the chick who's at Winston and Strawn. She's defending him from the gun charges and ongoing DOJ investigation into tax offenses. And this, it's just, she's going to be busy. She's going to be busy. Federal prosecutors, they went and indicted him and his wife, Nadine, for taking these bribes, you know, because they're from Cuba. And that's apparently, you know, is that kind of like a, it's like, I just want to go back. I can't get past that. The hell does you being Cuban have to do with it, right? Well, you know, it's because, oh, unless he's talking about the IRS. Now, in which case, I am fine, Senator Goldbars, with having a conversation about abolishing the IRS. Totally fine with that. Let's go ahead and have that conversation. You know, if you don't want your money confiscated, because heaven forbid you sit here and you sell a lawnmower or something on Etsy and they decide to come for you. I mean, heaven forbid. They had cash stuffed everywhere. Gold bars, all kinds of untraceable stuff. You know, I mean, if that's just the way they roll. The way they roll. So this thing with Menendez, I said last week, and we were the first to say it on this radio program. I said this like right when this was announced. This is nothing. It's nothing because they're trying to go after a Democrat so as to give the impression that the DOJ actually can hold Democrats accountable. Look, it is the bipartisan DOJ. And this guy is just an easy mark. That's the only reason they're going after Bob Menendez. He is an easy mark. I said this, I was the first to say it last week, early last week when all this stuff hit. It's because he's an easy mark. Of course, they're fine with sacrificing one of their own that they know is involved in criminal activity. One of their own who they know is in a very blue district. They're not going to have any problems at all whatsoever replacing him with another Democrat. I mean, they know so it's just all of this is all that it is for them to give this impression of the DOJ being somehow bipartisan, which we all know they're not. That's it. Oh, Abby Lowell's legit. I don't care. He's a chick. He must be a chick if he's representing Hunter. I don't even care. I don't care enough about these people to know what hangs between their legs, Kane. I don't care. Really don't care. It's Monday. I have not been given enough middle fingers to care about these people, to have any concern at all for their pathetic existence here on this rock hurtling through space. I just don't care. Just don't care. You know this guy's going to get just a wrist slide. Do you honestly think that they're going to have him in any way? You know, I will say this, too, with the attorney representing Senator Goldbars. We told you last week, it was a Daily Caller that came out with us last week. They had the story of how Menendez was trying to do business, and he was talking to the vice president of the United States at the time, which was Joe Biden, going through Rosemont Seneca. It just sounds like there's a cozy little relationship there, does it not? It sounds like there's a super cozy relationship there. I don't know. I have a lot of, my shenanigan meter's going off. That's it. Now, we're going to come back to this because that wasn't the dumbest thing that was said. I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got the dumbest soundbite. It was really, I don't understand what her whole point was here. So she was giving this interview and she was called out for owning a Tesla vehicle because she's been going off on Tesla, et cetera, et cetera. And she, this is audio soundbite, 22,000. And she went, I felt like I was listening to Kamala Harris. She was saying that she was going to get rid of her Tesla and she was on CBS's Face the Nation. And she cited somehow the lack of a vaccine for her reason to not sell her to. I don't under. So listen to this and see if you can make out what she means.
You know, one of the things that's happening in the auto industry, as you know, is this market shift and transition to electric vehicles. You were quoted back in July saying you look forward to buying a union-made electric vehicle, but you currently have a non-union-made mm-hmm. Tesla. UAW already makes some electric vehicles. So yes. Why wasn't that? Is it a problem with the quality? Is it a problem with the style? Is the market just not there?
No. Our car was purchased during the pandemic when before a vaccine had come out. So travel between New York and Washington, the safest way that we had determined was an EV, but that was prior to some of the new models coming out on the market that had the range available. But we're actually looking into trading in our car now. So we're looking into it and hopefully
Believes that because everybody remembers her Tesla being parked in front of the Whole Foods. Yeah. Don't sit here and gaslight me, chick. This ain't working. Yeah, it was illegally parked in front of the Whole Foods. And it was a story that happened before the pandemic, before COVID, before any of that stuff. I mean, let me pull it up. She has her, it was the Whole Foods that was in DC, right? This is way before the pandemic. Holy cow, this was before that. She got this damn car before then. And there was a photo back in 21 where she had it, because she apparently had, did this a lot. I mean, I guess, you know, when you're AOC, you're special and you can park wherever you want to. But there was another photo in 21 where she was also, again, parked in front of, this was a Whole Foods. This one was in Washington, D.C., and I don't understand what the vaccine or any of that has to do with her Tesla. What does that even have to do with her Tesla? What does that have to do with any of it? She's like, oh yeah, that was when, you know, and driving this way to that way. And it would just, what does that have to do with any of this? What does that have to do with her buying a Tesla? It has nothing to do with it. She wasn't asked that. Otherwise, we would have played that part of the soundbite. I love these reporters that have just enough balls to just go right there. And then that's it. They stop. Then they stop. I have no clue what that has to do with. That was like the Al Sharpton, Kamala Harris school of giving answers. Now, in the meantime, I think the immigration narrative is about to flip. The El Paso mayor is done playing. He's done playing with his own party. Dude sent 5 buses to sanctuary states. Democrat mayor in El Paso. He's warning that his city's already at its breaking point. They're done. We're going to talk about this and a whole bunch more. Pretty unbelievable how they're ignoring, his own party's ignoring his requests and pleas for help. Also, some really bad media malpractice. We're going to get into that. And because I'd rather die a horrible death than to consistently talk about 2024, like I'm just going to repeat the same talking points on cable news over and over again, I'm only going to give you the stupid top headlines. And then we're going to move on and talk about the other issues of the day and not the ego-flating contest of a bunch of people who only one of them is going to win the office and everyone else is going to try to get cable news contributorships, office appointments, or write a book. So we're going to get into all of that. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time. And the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete and still reign supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations. And this 12 gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12 gauge pump action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells and with dual tube magazines offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KelTecWeapons.com and follow Kel-Tec on social media. Visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC Weapons.com.
Gas prices have never been this high at this time of the year, ever. With the fall season approaching, diesel prices are expected to go up for farmers, which in turn causes your grocery bill to skyrocket. With no strategic petroleum reserve to tap into, is there ever an end in sight?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify,
Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so I don't know. I'm just going to bust into this, okay? We're just going to Kool-Aid man through the wall, this headline. AIDS memorial sculpture sparks debate in Palm Springs. Okay, it's a proposed AIDS memorial sculpture in Palm Springs. It's at the center of a heated debate. There's nothing I can say that's not going to end up sounding Freudian in retrospect. Its design has sparked concerns in the community because it looks like a giant donut hole. I mean, if you're wholesome, that's what you think it looks like. Yeah, it does. Sure. It looks like a giant anus. That's what it looks like. And I mean, there is no exaggeration. There are like people who are activists in that community who are like, why of all the things did you do this? Why is this memorial? Someone said that in addition to the, because they said it's abstract, nobody knows what it means, but it literally looks like a certain body part. Someone said, quote, actually, one of the activists said the backside of this looks like a graphic depiction of the backside of a human being. It's being funded privately because someone was stupid enough to hand over $500,000 for modern art, which is trash. It's going to be down in the downtown parking of the Marilyn Monroe statue, which I think is like an insult to the Marilyn Monroe statue. So just maybe come up with something better. You know, that's what you did. What does that even... that you look at that and the first thing you think of is AIDS. This is like a deleted, you know, scene from Rent. What? Stop. Okay, we do not deserve dogs. A missing toddler was found sleeping in the woods using one of her dogs as a pillow. This sweet Rottweiler, a two-year-old. She literally just like dashed out of her family's house, walked out into the woods. The smaller dog was a pillow. The larger dog was the lookout. And the parents were freaking out. The mom, apparently in the story, the mom went to get stuff out of the dryer. And that's when the little girl just bolted. And they looked for her. They found her. And she was sleeping on one of the dogs. And the other dog was laying right beside her, alert, watching everything. And they said that they were really protective of her. That is so amazing. We totally do not deserve dogs. They are just so great. She was found safe and sound, totally healthy. And she was happy and giggly. And it was just like, why? They are fast, dude. Kids are fast. They'll run away. Writers Guild has reached a tentative agreement with studios and streamers, says the union. I mean, I don't really watch a lot of television and all of that. I haven't really watched a lot of like the, I don't know. They said it's a significant development. It could bring an end to this writer's strike. I do understand the criticisms that they had about AI. So hopefully they found some kind of happy medium there. And Gen Z workers, I don't care about that. Let's see, a lawsuit... This woman was propped up to appear alive after she died during routine surgery. I think that's everybody's soul on a Monday.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And two of the great artists of our time representing the groundbreaking legacy of hip-hop in America, LL Cool J. By the way, that boy's got, that man's got biceps bigger than my thighs. I think he's... And MC Light, both of you, thank you.
Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my gosh. I think we all died a little bit. Are you okay, Kane? Yeah, you live?
Hello, Jay. Cool.
I'm trying to figure out if I want to be a baby about this a little longer, if I want to get up and party. I don't know. what is this? That was the president of the United States. Where was he speaking at? I can't even remember.
Wasn't that the Black Caucus, or was it not?
I don't know. Does he know? Hell, what was that?
I think it was the Black Caucus.
LLJ Cool. Oh, no. Stop, sir, off the stage. Immediately. I don't know where to go with this, man.
And in that clip afterwards, he calls it the new edition instead of new edition. So, yeah, there was a lot of evidence that he is just not in touch.
What do you mean? President Daddy Showers is not like with it?
It's weird. Yeah.
This isn't even about being in touch. This isn't being a big old racist. That's what that is. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lashier with you. I mean, you guys, what are you surprised? I mean, this was the guy that was like, I'm going to eulogize my crusty old grand wizard, whatever. What are they? I don't know. Muggles? I don't know what they are. What is it? The Democrats' arm of Get Out the Vote, the Klan? I don't know what they are. Someone out there is like, well, that's not a Democrat's out there going, well, that's not what they, yeah, they are. Shh. Welcome back to the show. Biceps bigger than my thighs. This was one of the worst. Oh, guys. That wasn't even, as bad as that wasn't even the worst. I mean, all of it. It's like it's a gradient of worse, worser, and worst. I don't even know where to start. For instance, let's just go into audio soundbite 3, Kane, if you will. Audio soundbite 3. Let's see what words of wisdom President McUnity Daddy Showers had to say here. Go ahead.
And we did it through a bipartisan effort that included a majority of responsible gun owners. We're not stopping here. Again, I'll say it again. I'm not going to be quiet until we get it done. It's time again to ban assault weapons high capacity magazines. If you need 80 shots in a magazine, you should own a gun.
Whoa. Where are them 80 shot mags at? Where are them 80 shot mags at? Where are they at?
Is he talking about the Tommy gun drums?
I don't know. Can we have them now? Without having to beg their government? Please, government, can we have our natural rights?
No,
can we please? where are the 80 shot mags at? I just would love those. I mean, I've got some standard capacity magazines that some who are stupid might say are more than standard. But you'd be wrong, because standard is what I say it is. But what's this? 80 shots in a... Wow. So glad that he's making decisions about our gun rights. This guy. If you need 80 shots in a magazine, I love reading magazines. I'm surprised he didn't say that. You know, this is coming. This is going to be next. Good heavens. This was so bad. It is so bad. That I have so many sound bites where we could, I think, pretty much do the remainder of the show with this. That's how bad it is. How does this guy run for re-election? How? How does this work? Anybody? I mean, if this had been, case in point, I hate doing this, but it's the only way that I can illustrate how badly biased all of this is. If this had been, say, like a Democrat or a Republican, I mean, that went out and said, oh, yeah, you know, LLJ Cool. Yeah, that boy has bigger biceps. Can you imagine? I mean, they got mad at Trump because he ate a taco salad on Cinco de Mayo. And they said he was a racist because he legit ate a taco salad, which are delicious, by the way, and nutritious. But they got mad at him for straight up eating a taco salad on Cinco de Mayo. Joe Biden goes out there and tells black Americans that they're not black unless they vote for him because he owns their blackness. He goes out there and calls minorities boys. Don't sit here and play like this is some kind of term of endearment. No, we ain't. No. These are dim rules. These are dim rules now. Right? Where them rules? That's what we go by. That's how we live. That's what they established. And see, part of the problem with establishing stupid rules is that sometimes you really win some stupid prizes. I'm just don't know what this party's, what the Democrats are going to do, and I am here for it. Oh my gosh, I'm so here for it. I had these two headlines back to back. Representative Phillips says he hasn't ruled out a Biden challenge in 2024. Who's this guy? Dean Phillips, a Democrat from Minnesota that literally no one knows. He was on some dude's podcast and he was like, oh gosh, yes, it's a steep slope, but I'm considering it. It seems a little late there, don't you think, Slick? Because, I mean, you have zero name recognition. And unless you're just trying to, like, get a book deal or a contributorship, there's literally, or a cabinet appointment, there's legit no reason why you should even consider getting in the race at this point. So there's this. And then I got this headline. Newsom and DeSantis have agreed to debate on Fox News, which I think is funny. And I really want Newsom. I want Joe Biden to drop out. And I want Gavin Newsom to be the nominee so badly, just because it'd be funner to because almost at this point, it's just like if you see a sick puppy and you're like, oh, that puppy's sick. It's so weird. You know, he's got to, you know. It just becomes sad. And that's in a similar way. That's what it's like with Joe Biden. All these sound bites. I mean, guys, I have so many just horrible things from his press conference that he had. But if you have somebody like Newsom, right, you don't feel like he's being exploited because he's old and doesn't know where he is. They're going to do this debate on November 30th. That's what the it's going to be. Sean Hannity's going to moderate it. So that'll be kind of interesting. Would you watch that, Kane? Are you going to watch it? We're like, I don't know. Do we want to watch it? I don't know. I mean, how many debates are we going to have? I don't think that the last Republican president is going to participate in the next debate either. He was going to go to, talk to UAW, but then now they don't apparently want that. Or the way that they did it, let me pull this up. So he said he was going to visit Michigan United Auto Workers instead of attending the second debate. But then the United Auto Workers president went at him. And they went from they don't want to meet with Biden to they invited Biden to join the picket line. So Biden's going to go like the day before and take, well, and you know, Biden didn't make this decision. Somebody else did for him. And they're going to just kind of steal the thunder from that move that Trump had of not going to the second debate and going to that instead. I don't think that's going to help. None of that's going to help Biden, though. I mean, his polling, he's got highest disapproval of highest mark of his presidency. His disapproval is through the roof. Nobody trusts this guy. Nobody thinks that he's doing well. And his surrogates and the operatives that are in his camp are so concerned about third-party candidates. But I will believe that they're concerned when they actually start hitting out at them. Because so far they haven't. There haven't been any Democrats that have gone out against Gavin Newsom. There haven't been any Democrats really that have gone out at Cornel West. There haven't been any. He's the no labels guy. There haven't been any, and I don't think third party is not really anything that Democrats have ever had to worry about because they're so hive-mind. They're so incredibly hive mind. They understand the strategy of having, you know, of having a party majority and what that means for controlling the calendar and controlling the Senate floor, et cetera, power of the purse. So they will align for that purpose. The right doesn't do that. The right kills itself every time because turnout, because we don't turn out. I mean, that's literally what it is. We just don't turn out. So I don't know. I don't think they're really worried about this just because I haven't seen a lot of oppo about it. I haven't seen them really go at any of these guys. When they do, when there starts to be that kind of infighting, then I'll believe that they actually think that some of these other candidates are threats. But at this point, I just don't. But it is still, So we have that polling. The other thing I wanted to point out too, can everybody, because I have people who ask me about this and I get a lot of questions about this. I literally don't care about any national polling right now because it is so stupid and pointless. And it's usually, and I'm not saying this to be disparaging, it's usually these national polls are designed to try to emotionally bait people who don't follow primaries because they're not nerds. If you're a nerd and you've always followed the primaries and you know the history of this polling, then you don't get worked up over any kind of national poll, whichever way it goes, because they're entirely pointless. The only thing that matters right now are the early states and the delegate count. It is a delegate race. Literally nothing else is of consequence. That's the truth of it. I mean, when you look back to 2000, you had, oh my gosh, like Mitt Romney at the start of, or 2012 even, before he was even the nominee, he was so far back behind the line. Do you remember, I mean, good grief, Howard Dean went in 2008, Hillary Clinton was almost like 40 some odd points up on Barack Obama. You cannot assess candidates' strengths and you cannot assess their weaknesses based on the national polling this early. So much of it is weighted, slanted BS done by operatives, all designed to elicit from you a particular reaction. Now, just as we don't like having to subscribe to whatever reaction that the left wants of us, so should you also resist that temptation when it concerns operatives of any stripe on the right. So, no, you have to look in fundraising. Fundraising and how they're doing on the ground are the only two things that matter. How much staff does a campaign have on the ground in early states? What kind of funds are they bringing in? Those are the only two things that matter. I had somebody asking me over the weekend, oh, well, you know, what about this poll or that poll? And I'm like, it's garbage. That poll's garbage. This poll about this candidate's garbage. This poll about that candidate's garbage. It's all garbage. And here's why, for the millionth time. Stop getting wound up over stupid operative national polling that's designed specifically to elicit that reaction from you. Do not get played. Now you know why I hate everybody. Because people on the right do this stuff just like people on the left do. They want to work you up and emotionally manipulate you into thinking that this person's ahead or this person's behind or this person's going to repeat 08 or this person's going to do that. Just ignore all of it. Watch the fundraising. Watch the ground game. Delegate races where it's at. Everything else is trash. And it's going to be trash for like the next 5 months. So there's what I think about today in polls. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I started off as a kid in the Civil Rights Movement in Wilmington, Delaware, when I was in high school, and the community. We won by a staggering 3,100 or 3,200 votes when I ran the first time for the Senate at 29 years old. And Nixon won by 64% of the vote in my state. I won because virtually 90% of the African-American community, we have a large community, voted for me. I owe you. I owe you. I owe you.
I'm trying to figure out. I shouldn't. I just shouldn't try to figure out. He's like, well, because I had this demographic vote for me then, you got to vote for me now. If you owe them, why have you never delivered, dude? That's Joe Biden, who is, again, still, because he didn't start, he wasn't a civil rights activist.
I have his audio still of when he admitted it back in 1987 that he wasn't
an
activist.
Yeah.
During the 60s, I was, in fact, very concerned about the civil rights movement. I was not an activist. I worked at an all-black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington, Delaware. I was involved. I was involved in what they were thinking, what they were feeling.
Okay, this is such garbage. Because Biden wasn't a civil rights activist. He literally fought for segregation in schools. I mean, let's not forget the history. This dude's history. Dude fought for segregation in schools. I mean, he literally sponsored a bill that actually promoted segregation of schools. It was a move that followed. NBC News has this story from several years ago. They talked about how it followed the wishes of Biden's white constituents in Delaware. He wanted his role in fighting student busing, it didn't come up until, until the Democrat primary debate. But to act like the guy who literally fought for segregation is a civil rights activist is insane. And this was the way he defended it. He told Al Sharpton, quote, "You've got to deal with what's in front of you. And what was in front of you was a bunch of racists and we had to defeat them." So you became a racist and fought for segregation in order to defeat them? You liver spotted President Daddy Showers, the hell's wrong with you? Golly. I mean, that's what he did. He literally sponsored a bill to limit school integration. And we're acting like he's acting like, and the media's letting him have a pass, saying that he's like some civil rights activist. He keeps saying that he's a civil rights activist. Everybody from the Washington Post to the Atlantic have fact-checked him on this. We've got another hour on the way. Florida man on the way as well. Man, oh man, do I got some headlines in that for you. Stick with us.
We're getting breaking news from the border. Customs and Border Patrol sources telling Fox News they've recorded 11,000 encounters in the past 24 hours.
24 hours.
They say it's the single highest day in recent memory in that town of Eagle Pass in Texas.
Otherwise, we could just tell them to watch Fox to have a replay of Bill Hemmer. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lashier with you. Top of the second hour. 11,000 in like one day. But hey, Kane, the border's fine.
Is it?
That's what we're told, isn't it? It's totally closed and stuff. You guys believe that? You can listen to the radio program Coast to Coast, and you can stream the radio show, and you can watch the simulcast of said radio show as well. So make sure you do so. Channel 347 Direct TV. I'm just looking at some of the stuff over the border now, and it just does not look as though it's under control. I gotta say, in fact, there's very little that looks like it's under control as it relates to the border, because when you have 11, because that's up from 9,000. They reported that they had a 3-year-old boy that drowned in Eagle Pass, a 10-year-old boy just last week, in the span of 7-8 days, they had a 10-year-old and a 3-year-old drown. There are multiple drownings. It's been several years now. This has been happening because of the wide open border. And Border Patrol agents, they're attacked, they're shot at. It's overwhelming. So they've been, Greg Abbott tweeted, and he's going to be on at the bottom of this hour, by the way. Greg Abbott tweeted that just over the weekend, he was deploying more buses to Eagle Pass and they're loading it up. They're sending people to self-declared sanctuary states. He said that Texas is going to utilize every strategy to help our border towns. You have the federal government that refuses to keep the border closed. And the video that Juan's showing you in a simulcast, this video from last week, that's of the feds cutting the fence that Biden sent out to cut the fence at the border. They are not, they don't want to enable states to deploy the resources that they have, border states, to deal with this kind of stuff. They don't want any kind of apprehension and deportation. They're not allowed to do any of that. They said that, oh, you've seen, they heavily litigate, they aggressively litigate this issue with governors. And so then when these buses are loaded up and all of these people who've illegally entered the country are sent to the interior, to these so-called sanctuary states, the sanctuary states lose their minds. And then Democrats, the administration threatens to keep all of these people in Texas. But the border's fine. Just all fine. Amazing. It's not. I would like to see them try to keep people here in the United States. Wait a minute. Isn't that what's mean? Like, why would you want to deprive someone who entered the country illegally from going to a sanctuary state? Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? If you know, you I don't, the people who say that they're sanctuary states don't actually want to be sanctuary states. It's fascinating. We got a few other things that I want. I'm dropping this in Slack for you guys. I wanted to switch this up because this has to do with Anthony Fauci. And this was, I believe this was on Friday evening. And why, can I ask a question? Why is Anthony Fauci still doing the talk show circuit? For real, like why? Why is he still doing the talk show thing? He's on MSNBC. They've asked him, I think the standard run of questions that they have asked him has gone from not just the quote-unquote vaccine, but it's gone to what? Climate change? Education? Now they're asking him about violent rhetoric from the right. Forgive me, I had not put this on the rundown, but I had a note to hit on it. And I'm trying to figure out why he is doing this, the talk show stuff. He hasn't dropped out of the sphere, I guess, of public discourse, because the left likes to use him, I think, as a rallying cry against the right. I can't think of anything else. So he was on MSNBC and he was talking to Marie Hassan. And Fauci was asked about DeSantis saying someone should grab that little elf and chuck him across the Potomac, which is funny, actually. It was really funny. And he does. He looks legit like what's his face from Labyrinth? Hoggle. And Fauci's a guy who's been built up to be by the left to be this icon. And Fauci believes all the hype. He's just an old Beto. That's who he is. He's an old hoggle-ish looking Beto. He like is high off his own farts. I don't know how else to describe it. So he was asked about this. Listen to this. Listen as he responds. Listen to his answer here.
What happens is that if you become the symbol of the object of people's anger, even people who know nothing about you know the fact that in my career, I've been involved in saving literally millions of lives that people are, hello, you know.
Oh my God. Okay, stop. I'm not going to make it through. Can we just stop for 1 second? Because I'm not going to make it through this. What in the world? I'm going to come back to it because there's more, but can we just stop for 1 second? He's in love with himself. Actually, do you know who he is like? He's not an old Beto. Do you know who he reminds me of? Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He is Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Just old. That's who he is. He's like, I mean, I've saved lives. Hello, me. I've saved lives. All of them. Me, Fauci. That's what he just did. Did you not just die from the cringe and just come back to life? Because I think we all did. Okay, I'm sorry. You can play the rest of it. I had to interrupt there because I couldn't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
that in my career, I've been involved in saving literally millions of lives that people, forget that, is that I become that symbol. And then when they say something like that, you get somebody who doesn't know anything at all about me, who's crazy, says, wow, I'm going to go get that person, or that person should be killed, or that person should be prosecuted. And that's the reason why I have to have security. Governor DeSantis doesn't personally want to hurt me. He doesn't.
But he's inciting crazy.
He's triggering in people who are bad and really want to hurt people.
This is so stupid. But he's inciting. Who is he inciting? Do you honestly think someone's going to scoop him up and throw him across the Potomac, you utter morons? I mean, you people are the ones who've said, oh my gosh, we got to arrest all law-abiding gun owners. Oh, we should SWAT law-abiding gun owners. I love how they don't take language seriously when they're the ones who are screaming threats. But when someone makes a joke, then all of a sudden they lose all sense of humor and everything is just absolutely boringly literal. And that's what they're doing. He just says, he's like, I don't think he's going to do anything to me, but he's triggering with another people. What? I really distrust the words or advice or counsel of any kind of official, medical or otherwise, especially medical, I should say, that treats language like it's some kind of pathology and that acts as though there are people in whom they hear, a facetious comment and, oh, well, you're going to trigger the crazies against me. It's why I have to have security. Maybe he has to have security, and this is just a thought. Maybe he has to have security because he helped fund gain-of-function research, and he lied about it, and he hid it, and then people found out. And then he also lied about the masking and he lied about the social distancing. And as people missed the funerals of their loved ones and entire years of their lives, they got a little disgruntled over that. If you want to talk about triggering something within someone else, what people said are just words. What he did was actual actions against people. He didn't save millions of lives. He didn't save me. It's a virus. You're not going to cure. You're not going to inoculate against a virus. It's a virus. You just acclimate. He didn't save millions of lives. But what he did was help contribute to terrifyingly high rates of depression. What he did was help contribute to terrifyingly high rates of drug usage. What he did was help contribute to a Republican president listening to these people and shutting down the damn economy, the most powerful economy in the world. And you can get mad at me saying the God's honest truth, but that's just the bare naked truth. This guy contributed literally to people ending friendships over not getting clot shots. He contributed to division in families over masks that were completely ineffective. He contributed to the breakdown of trust in these agencies that are supposed to be beacons of light and knowledge in a time of complete confusion and utter info chaos. He contributed to all of that. But he has the audacity to act like someone referring to him as Labyrinth Toggle and chucking him across the Potomac. That's the thing he's got to worry about. Now, if anybody's like wound up to be violent, or if anyone's wound up to have that kind of hate in their heart, they're probably going to have been wound up from being forced on his advice to stay home for 2 years in their house. They're probably going to have been done so by being forced to miss school, forced to miss milestones in their lives, forced to separate from families, forced to mourn alone, forced to lose a paycheck, maybe forced to lose their house, forced to lose their business. I could go on, but I think you get the idea. This guy is always the victim. He's a legend in his own mind and the perpetual victim. And I told you from the beginning when he started doing these photo shoots, I went from being ambivalent about him to disliking him based on that alone when he started courting this attention.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so Florida State's quarterback, Jordan Travis, is now coming under fire from convicted felon Joe Exotic because the Florida State quarterback, after he led the Seminoles to wins over LSU Clemson, he came out and he wore a shirt that said Tiger King. He's being called Tiger King. That angered Joe Exotic from the Tiger King series on Netflix. And so Joe Exotic is threatening to sue Jordan Travis because of this shirt and him, apparently, because it shows up on his website, this Tiger King shirt. And it features Travis sitting on a throne. There's a crown on his head and there's two tigers in front of him. One that has Clemson colors, the other is LSU's. And it's labeled Jordan Travis College King 2.0. And it's priced at the final score of the Clemson game, which is 31-24. So it's, and they're funny shirts, but Joe Exotic is like, I'm going to sue you. That's my trademark. I have been Tiger King since I was 6 years old. So there you go. It's going to be interesting to see how that one pans out, isn't it, Kane? Mm-hmm. Very interesting indeed. You guys remember the Gage Grosskowitz? He was the guy who had a handgun, and the media always forgets to add that part. He was in illegal possession of a handgun because of his record, by the way. And he was shot in the bicep after he attacked Kyle Rittenhouse in Kenosha. Well, there's video, WISN, an ABC affiliate. He was literally hit by a car in a hit-and-run incident. He was on top of the hood, dragged under, and stuck underneath the vehicle for a good 20 feet. He suffered a lacerated liver and broken multiple bones. And he's changed his name to Paul Prediger. Prediger rhymes with predator, which is so appropriate. So I'm not even sad. That's the whole reason I was telling you that headline. All right, as we move, it's true. Oh, let's see here. A couple of other things. This is a real bad one if you're a germaphobe. A former Spirit Halloween employee says she will never buy a mask from there. Oh, man, I am not going to make it to this headline. Oh, this is like my worst nightmare come to life. This is a horror film for me. Because she's witnessed people take off masks and be dripping in sweat, and then someone else tries it on. There's no disinfecting in between. I would agree with this. I never, ever put masks on. Ever. Never do. Can you imagine, though? So if you're at the Spirit Halloween, because it is spooky season, don't be putting masks up on your face because you don't know whose head's been in there before. It's or carry some wet ones with you and wipe it off, right, before you do. And maybe after. Like, you're at the gym, like, doing nice. Do something nice, right? Jimmy Carter celebrates his 99th birthday. He attended the annual Peanut Festival in Georgia with his wife, Rosalind. He's been in hospice care for 7 months now. And I still think he gets around better than Joe Biden. And the White House is proposing to move medical bills from credit reports. Stick with us. Governor Greg Abbott next.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
It just sounds like you're throwing rhetoric around with no basis in fact.
No. You can. Have you been to the border?
Of course I have.
Have you seen what's going on? The rapes? It's open. I mean, nobody can deny that.
The border is,
and it's a crisis. Where?
I'll ask the question, sir. And the border is not open. That is something that is.
What does he mean? The border isn't open. I mean, good grief! You hear these numbers come in from Customs and Border Patrol every single day. This is Representative Ralph Norman talking with CNN's Jim Acosta over the weekend, and Jim Acosta is taking issue with the fact that. Representative Norman is asserting these are the crimes that are taking place just as a result, as a consequence of this. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast terrestrially. You can stream the radio program as well. You can watch the simulcast Facebook, YouTube, and Channel 347 DirecTV. Joining us now from the Great Republic of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, who I read, Governor, you just loaded up. How many more buses to send illegal immigrants entering illegally to the sanctuary states so they can enjoy that sanctuary? How many buses went out, Governor?
So we're sending out many buses each day, and it's because of the high volume of people coming in. But I got to tell you, Dana, what you were just presenting to your audience right there is really the most stunning thing that's going on in the United States, because it's not just Acosta. is Karine Jean-Pierre, the spokesperson for Biden, is Secretary Mayorkas, both of whom say the border is secure. In fact, they say the border is more secure than ever. And you may remember Karine Jean-Pierre said, people don't just walk across the border. Yeah. And they act like they can tell Americans this and Americans will really believe it. But remember this also. Americans can quickly forget it was just 3 years ago with the lowest illegal border crossings in 40 years is because of four principles that President Trump put in place, the Remain in Mexico, the Title 42, the In Catch and Release, and building the border wall. My point is very simple. We can have a secure border if we have a president standing up who is actually going to enforce the laws of the United States of America. Because Joe Biden has abandoned any pretense of the laws in the United States and is not enforcing them. He's doing a worse job than any president in the history of America. Mm. And yet, his administration is saying the border is secure. It's just outrageous.
Talking with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, I watched video, Governor, of, I guess, people with the military that were sent by the Biden administration cutting down wire that you had National Guard soldiers put out in Eagle Pass as like a force multiplier to prevent these illegal crossings. And I saw that over the weekend you had them go back out and replace it. Explain to me in the audience how it is that the administration can say, we're just going to go cut this wire and we're going to basically, I mean, it's violating the law, but also right in your face and in the face of Texans, Governor. I mean, how is that? I'm just trying to figure out how that's not criminal by itself.
Candidly, we're looking into the criminality of it. We're looking into legal action that we can take against the Biden administration. But so your audience knows what we're talking about. The Texas National Guard, they erect these concertina wire border barriers. It's razor wire, military grade, and they stack it three stacks high, three stacks deep, and then the National Guard stand behind it with guns to make sure that nobody enters Texas illegally. At that particular point, it's proven to be a very effective strategy, so effective that for reasons which can only anger Americans, the Biden administration went in there and they had their border patrol cutting that wire open, and then they pulled the wire open so that migrants could get through. So we went back and we doubled the amount of razor wire we put up in those locations to make sure we blocked it back off. And also over the weekend, we posted a video in that very location where migrants were trying to enter into the United States, and we turned them back, sent them right back to Mexico.
And to put this in perspective, because everyone says, and by everyone, I mean, you know, the administration, Governor, and of course, you know, their surrogates on cable news, they say, oh, it's so cruel to do this. What I find cruel is their collusion with cartels that now find more value in human trafficking than drug trafficking, or the drowning deaths of the 10 and the 3-year-old just in the past 7 days in this exact same sector. That seems to me that's cruelty, but they don't, that's never brought up. This is actually preventing that further.
You're spot on. Listen, is Biden's open border policies that lead to death and devastation for so many people. So get this. The United Nations, an agency in the United Nations, declared the border between the United States and Mexico as the deadliest land crossing in the entire world. And that's because of Joe Biden and his policies. He is directly leading people to their death, whether it be drowning in the Rio Grande, dying in the deserts of Texas, dying from falling from one of the walls that we're putting up. So Texas, amongst other things, we're building our own border wall, the same wall that President Trump put up. And sometimes people try to climb the wall and jump over the wall, that kind of stuff, and it leads to their death. And so Biden truly is causing people to lose their life, all in the name of his open border policies.
Talking with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, some of the reaction, Governor, from, we were talking just a moment ago about sending the buses of those who are entering the country illegally to these sanctuary states. How does it make you feel when you hear, whether it's the New York City mayor or whether it's the governor, Kathy Hochul and Eric Adams, respectively, when they're up there talking about the cost that they are incurring by dealing with these illegal immigrants that are being sent so cruelly by you to enjoy what they have to offer as a sanctuary city and sanctuary state, What are they missing? Because they act like they're expending so much resource and so much manpower dealing with this. But what border towns have been dealing with this quite a lot for years.
Well, so there's a small town on the border. The name is Eagle Pass. And in 1 week, Eagle Pass had more than 10,000 people come across the border into Eagle Pass. And this was last week. And Eagle Pass has a population of about 28,000. So about one third of their entire population crossed across the border. Imagine if New York had to deal with that same math and they had 2 to 3 million people in New York who were illegal immigrants. That would be the equivalent of what we're dealing with here in Texas. But then I got to tell you this, let's connect what you just said to the way we begin our discussion today. We begin our discussion with the Biden administration and Acosta and others acting like the border is secure. One thing that Mayor Adams is doing and one thing that is happening in Chicago and L.A. and elsewhere, they're having to go public about having to grapple with the open border policies and their inability to deal with it. And so they are showing that what Acosta said and what Karine Jean-Pierre said are completely wrong. Democrats are showing that they cannot tolerate Biden's open border policies.
Governor, do you think that the administration is maybe colluding with the cartels? I just can't imagine why anyone would so purposefully flout existing established law about entry into the United States and do so with complete disregard at loss of life. The only thing it seems like Occam's razor. It seems like there's collusion there.
So I don't know. So, one thing, Danny, we always wonder about, what does Joe Biden really know? Does he know what's going on? Is he completely ignorant? Is somebody else pulling the strings? Candidly, Biden seems ignorant about a lot of the things that are taking place in the United States. He has not truly been in the border. He had some sanitized meeting in El Paso. The border czar, Kamala Harris, has not really been in the border. No one in the administration has really been down there to see what's going on. Mayorkas has been there a couple of times, and all he does is lie to America about it. He could be lying to Biden about it. Biden truly may not know exactly what is going on the border.
Yeah, true. One last question for you. I was reading talking with Governor Greg Abbott of Republic of Texas. This settlement, Daily Wire did this investigation, Colony Ridge settlement, and it talks about how far into the interior of Texas people who are entering illegally, how they've gotten. Apparently, this development is bigger than Manhattan, 50% bigger than Manhattan, according to recent estimates, where people can just take out a loan directly from the developer. They can build in this development and there's no social securities required. Apparently, there's a lot of cartel activity there. There have been fatalities, murders, etc. What is being done? And I know that you're limited in what you can do at the border with respect to endless litigation from the Biden DOJ. What can be done to prevent or serve as a deterrent to stuff like this? Because there are people, and some Democrats, some Republicans, we all know who they are. But there are people who, get advantage, they think that this is advantageous for their own personal needs and they get involved in this. What can be done to stop this kind of stuff and particularly this development?
Right. So, Dennis, serious concerns have been raised about what's going on in this Colony Ridge area. And so let me tell you what we are doing. And that is I deployed the Texas Department of Public Safety to make sure that this is being patrolled. Let me give an example. One thing I heard is that it was a so-called no-go zone. And I wanted to make sure that we eliminated any pretense of that whatsoever. And so the Texas Department of Public Safety is constantly patrolling this. And they told me, so are the county sheriff, as well as the local constable, making sure that the laws are going to be abided by. But we're doing more than that. We had the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality go out and undertake investigations. And then they're going to be issuing a report on the quality of what's going on out there. We issued subpoenas to the developers to find out what's going on financially. And we will gather all of that information and put it together. One thing you know, but the audience may not, is we're having a special session here in the state of Texas next month. And so we're trying to put together as much information as possible so that I can add to the special session any issue that needs to be enforced in terms of a new law in the state of Texas to make sure that we're not going to have colonies like this in our state.
And because you wouldn't be able to go up there with, you know, the Texas Rangers or who are the guard or whomever right now and literally ask for ID. And then, you know, you can't take anybody into custody and deport them. You'd be sued by the DOJ, wouldn't you?
Well, listen, we're finding out, we're getting all the baseline information so we can find out exactly what we can do and what we must do. Part of it can be using current law enforcement, but part of it may require new laws. Whatever it takes, we'll be looking into it now as well as in the next special session that will start next month.
There you go. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, always appreciate it, Governor. Thank you for looking out for Texans when I know that the administration doesn't make it easy. Thank you so much,
Dana,
for your time.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so I don't even know how to talk about this. It's so sad. This is such a sad story, but it's also one of the most horrifying headlines I think we've ever had in Florida Man. This is over the weekend. It was in Clearwater, Florida. A 14-foot alligator was caught dragging a human corpse down a Florida canal. It was in its mouth, and it had to be shot dead by Florida Fish and Wildlife and law enforcement because it was like really aggressive towards everybody with it. It was protecting its prey. It was legit a person. And all these people, like, people saw what was happening and they immediately called law enforcement. And then some people, they started taking videos so they could show law enforcement how, like, look, this is what is happening. This is what it's doing. They said it was gruesome. Several local residents spotted it. They alerted the Largo Fire Department. The fire department showed up. Guys, this gator is ginormous. It is huge, 14 foot, and it had this body clamp between its jaws. Now, according to news, the body was that of a transient woman who had been sighted previously by law enforcement because she kept going into this swamp, marshy area there that was known to have gators, and they were telling her to stay out. There's tons of video and photos, and we just can't show you. That's so bad. Oh my gosh, it's so horrible. I feel for this lady because I don't think that she had a death wish, but just horrifying. I mean, there's nothing as horrifying. This is the most horrifying headline I've ever had for all Florida Man. Oh my gosh. Like, what is going on with the gators too, by the way? A Florida golfer fought off an alligator with a putter. This was on Wednesday of last week. So WINK, Tony Arts, escaped the incident. It was at Magnolia Landing Golf and Country Club in North Fort Myers. And the gator legit latched onto his right ankle. Dude's playing golf, got his right ankle, and he hit the gator in the eye with his putter. And they had to capture it. Florida Fish and Wildlife captured and put the gator down. They said that since 2016, I guess, 388 alligator bites on people have been recorded since 1948, 24 of them being fatal. But it seems like there's just a spate of them recently, does it not, Kane?
'Tis the season.
Is it though? Is it the season to get bit by a gator? I just don't know. This is so bad. Like, I need a break from the gator. Just note, please note that literally every puddle, even a drop of water in Florida, probably has a giant gator in it. Just know that. And they're fast. Don't think that they're not fast. And zigzag when you run. Zigzag. Isn't that what you're told? Yeah. To get away from a gator? Yeah. Does that also work with the Velociraptor? I don't know. Same thing, maybe not. All right, so do I want the naked man or the guy who used the cane to beat up somebody?
We might have time for both.
Okay, Florida man had a naked two-hour standoff. Literally, that's how Flagler County described it, not me. They said it was a naked standoff. God love them. I love our police. So Flagler County, Florida. A lot of drama here. Fox 35, they said Flagler County got a call about a family feud that went crazy. Michael Wells, 57, he looks way older than that. He was causing all sorts of ruckus, and he apparently had a lot of liquor, and he decided to fight a family member, And he was also naked somehow at some point during all of this. He got naked. I don't know how that happens. And there was a standoff, a two-hour standoff, and they finally took him into custody. 82-year-old Florida man fought off a home intruder with his cane. He's like the guy, the blind guy from the last John Wick.
Right.
Oh, man, 82 years old. He had a guy break into his house in the middle of the night. He acted on instinct, Ronald Lucas. He said the situation continued for some time because every time I'd hit him, he'd hit me and on and on. So he said he saw the man break in. He took off for his wife, who had just had an operation. He came face to face with the intruder. He said, I just got in between them, and boy, that was it. And then I started taking him out. He said he knows how to fight. He goes, but that guy took on a special forces guy in Vietnam. Dude, old dudes who were in Vietnam, don't. Just don't mess. They don't mess. They spend all day thinking, like, if you, well, in addition to having fun, they spend time like, well, if you come at me, I'm going to take you down. Just saying, never mess with an old dude from Vietnam, especially if he's got a cane and you're breaking into his house because you're going to get whooped. All right, third hour on the way. Stick with us.
So today I'm pleased to announce we're working with Congress to invest $40 billion in our Pacific Islands Infrastructure Initiative. We call it the PI, anyway, it doesn't matter what we call it, but that's what it is. I was going to get back to acronyms, and I'm going to withstand.
Guys, I can't, dude.
Doesn't matter what you call it, it's what it is.
Ow! There's, guys, come on. I can't. Welcome back to the show. Top of the third hour, Dana Lash with you. That was the president. I told you I had a bunch of audio. We have like 50,000, 11 trillion cuts of it, of just Biden. That was his whole speech. I mean, he messed up talking about LL Cool J, and then he does this, and oh my gosh, I don't know. So this, how do I want to put it? Discontentment that the left has with their incumbent going into 2024 is only getting worse. None of this looks good for him. His unfavorables are crazy. He is, every time he goes out and speaks, it just doesn't go well. People don't think that he's capable. And I think that he's burning his own party with what's happening at the border. You know, you have the mayor of El Paso, who's Democrat, who's also sending busloads of illegal immigrants to sanctuary states. Wow. So a friend of mine was saying that they're doing this in Massachusetts too over Columbus Day weekend. A friend of mine was saying that because they were going to be in Massachusetts and they had their hotel rooms. They said that they had their hotel rooms canceled. The hotel that they were staying at canceled a bunch of rooms that they've had booked for like half a year. And they said that because the hotels were selected to take part in housing, quote, families in need of shelter. So this is in Massachusetts. They're sending illegal immigrants to stay in the burbs in Massachusetts now. So don't think that this isn't coming to your area. Don't think that just because maybe you don't live in a big city or maybe you don't live near one of the sanctuary states or sanctuary cities that this isn't going to come to your area, because it is. And I hope it does. I hope it goes to everybody's area. I am so tired of border states having to provide the welfare for all of these super rich blue states so that they can pretend that they care and offer, quote unquote, sanctuary. Oh, I hope to hell that it comes to your area. I hope your hotels cancel all your reservations and that your rooms get all booked up and you have to deal with what border you force border towns to deal with for years. Elections have consequences and you're about to live them. All those people there. It's true. So yeah, that's literally in a suburban area in Massachusetts. It's not in Boston. It's suburban. You know, sanctuary, don't advertise it if you don't want it. I mean, some people actually thought that they weren't going to have to provide it. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. But this is all purposeful. Well, I was reading this thing about the Cloward Piven strategy. I first read about this in college, and then I started reading more about it, you know, obviously after the last Democrat president, because it was a very significant part of their campaign strategy. But this is what is exactly happening. You overload the system and create chaos and total panic. And then the system is destroyed by the resulting chaos and panic. And then you replace it with statism. That's exactly what's happening. This is exactly what's being done. That's why it's on purpose. I don't even think that the administration needs to be getting kickbacks from the cartels, although it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all. What did they say? They had this interview. Let me pull this up because I think I had this saved from a while ago. I think it was over at PJ Media. Yuri Bezmenov, who is a defector from the Soviet Union, like way back when. There's this old-timey video of him laying out the plan that the Soviets had to push people, to push nations and push other areas that it was over into accepting statism. It was normalized. Like, oh, it's a crisis that has been made so bad that the only way to recover from it is to have the government take over. Kind of like what we saw happen after the pandemic too, didn't it? Oh, look, it's just total chaos. We got to shut it all down. The system's overloaded. Oh, the government will be the answer. I had this meme that I shared in Substack last week as one of the lead images for prep. And it was this, it was a cartoon. It was like a still from like G.I. Joe or something. And it was this boy pointing to this eagle that was taking this small woodland creature, probably to its nest to eat. And there was like a fire raging below, and the kid pointing said, oh, look, this eagle is helping this little woodland creature escape the fire. He's helping. No, that's the government. The government is just taking it. The government says that it's going to help. It's hurt and rescue. It creates the problem. It creates the chaos. It creates the overwhelm system. And then it comes in to whisk you to safety with more statism. That's exactly and this is what this is. You can't tell me that this isn't on purpose. I don't know how anyone, a Democrat or not, can look at the border and say, this is okay, what's happening here? To have, I think, what, this year, how many, thousands a day. What was it, just 11,000 over the past couple of days?
11,000 was in the last 24 hours.
Oh, 24 hours. And then, well, so that does break the 9,400 record that was in the previous record set in 24 hours was 9,400. So this beats that.
Yep.
This is on purpose. Kane has video. What? Tell me this video. What happened here? In the little bank in the middle of the Rio. With the flag.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, the Venezuelan immigrants had come in, and there's a little island out in the water just outside of Eagle Pass that they planted a Venezuelan flag there. And so immediately, Texas DPS went there and just yanked it out of the ground.
See, this is when you want a drone with, like, a missile on it. I would just, like, missile the thing. It's just wild. But this is the purpose of which is to overwhelm the system. That's Cloward Piven. That's like well into it. I mean, you have our financial system that's being brought to its knees. We're getting away from the petrodollar made by purposeful decisions from this administration. They're telling you to eat bugs. They are flirting with the idea of making the United States even more vulnerable in the face of geopolitical threats. People are living paycheck to paycheck. I don't know. It's on purpose and it's bad. It's time to recognize it. This is beyond like just simple political ideological disagreements, at least at this point with this sort of thing. I mean, this gets into, you know, a well-designed push that they've been working on for so long into statism. I don't think they anticipated the Tea Party. I don't think they anticipated the new conservative 2.0 revolution that took place in 2016. I don't think that they anticipated those things. So that's kind of put them back a little bit. But by and large, I mean, this is why 2024 is so important. This is why I can't stand so much of the stupid primary posturing. It just, it aggravates me so bad. Just can't, I can't deal with it. And in the meantime, you got this from Secretary Booty Juice. He goes, the electric vehicle revolution is happening with or without us. China has sought to take the lead. Under President Biden, we're leading with an EV future that's made in America. What do you mean made in America? With literally all the materials that China has a monopoly on, you absolute damn sentient howdy-doody stooge. All right, I got some medium I'll practice. How is this a headline? This is over at Washington Post. It says, quote, after Florida restricts Black history, churches step up to teach it. They're still running with this narrative that Florida eliminated the teaching of Black history from schools when it's literally mandated by law that it be taught in Florida schools. These are white progressives that don't want Black voters to realize that, so they're trying to fearmonger. What was excluded from the teaching in schools was teaching your kids about strap-ons and how same-sex individuals like to get their kicks in graphic detail with photos, like or drawn graphic novel type presentations. That's what was eliminated, though that's literally what it was. It was queer theory that they were trying to stuff into a push that included Black history. And there were parents, there were Black parents who were asking, how is this a part of Black history? Teaching our kids this. This is absolutely age inappropriate. How is this about Black history? So you realize that it was parents of all ethnicities in Florida that said, we don't want this in here. And it was Florida lawmakers who made it happen and the Florida governor that signed the legislation. And it's still mandated by law that Black history be taught in Florida. But here you have Karen McCarran face over at the Washington Post. Of course, her name is Brittany. I mean, how many consonants do you need in your name? We understand there's a T in it, girl. We don't need 5,000 consonants, Brittany. Over at the Washington Post, Total Karen, who writes this story. It's always a white commie progressive that pushes this narrative. Because it's always white commie progressives. It was white commie progressives that wanted to keep the separate but equal. It was white commie progressives that didn't want minorities to vote. It was white commie progressives that protested against women voting. It was white commie progressives that decided to put indigenous Americans on the trail of genocide. And even still today, it's white commie progressives who want to go out and fearmonger using this veneer of racism whenever the people that they fight against ideologically actually make gains and make inroads in minority communities, because voters of all ethnicities see that freedom actually works and statism doesn't. So they pull this kind of stuff out. Brittany, literally, she looks like she just like went into Lululemon and then with her Starbucks pumpkin spice, and that she's in the, I feel like my job for you is to ridicule these people to feel horrible about themselves so they don't ever want to put their name on a byline or show themselves in public again. I have a particular set of skills, and sometimes just doing that is my best one. I'm so done with this. You feel me? You totally feel me. You know what I'm, did you see her? Did you see this chick? Brittany. Yeah. Why is it always these broads that do this? I'm going to put this in Slack. I got to take I'm taking a screenshot of this. I don't care that we're getting ready to go to break. I don't care. This is this chick. Brittany. She's got a serious side part with her tin head, with her serious side. I'm done. I'm done with this stuff. Like, how dare you push this kind of stuff? How dare you push this? When it's mandated by law, this is what they keep doing. And of course, it's the Washington Post. Brittany. Gosh, I want to find her on Twitter. I feel like being a bully today. It's not, you know what? No, let me change my language. It's not about being a bully. It's about holding people accountable, especially bad reporters. I will not hesitate to treat bad reporters like the wolves they are. That's the thing. You can't be too gentle with the sheep and you can't be too mean with the wolves. We got a lot more on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is crazy. Fury as zero children, approximately zero kids, at 13 Baltimore State schools pass the math exam. as parents groups are now demanding that leaders step down. Baltimore's failing education system have been warned for years. In state test results, 13 high schools had approximately zero students test proficient in math. They said among the 13, a staggering 74.5% scored the lowest possible score you could get. And parents are wondering what is happening, especially when your tax dollars mean that you are spending more per pupil getting this education than parents spend per pupil at private schools. That isn't a joke. If you want to really tick yourself off, you go compare public spending per pupil in your state to the average private school tuition. And then you're going to need something to calm your rage. It's unbelievable. Let's see. Ophelia spread caused widespread flooding. The storm is up the East Coast. Now, Steve, how did you manage? Because didn't y'all get a bunch of rain from Ophelia?
Yeah, it kind of like came through on Saturday, and there was like every other hour, like pour down rain sideways and then stop. It was like bands of it all day.
Did you have any flooding?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of trees down.
Oof. Let's marching up the East Coast now. Ophelia. Banks fearing a liquidity crunch are paying more to cling to cash, coming from Yahoo's finance department. They're saying that banks are paying to protect their cash holdings from sinking further and to safeguard against future runs on deposits, according to Bank of America, which is not a bank I like. Big and small institutions alike started doing this even before, but not at this rate, though. Come on, let's be honest. Data shows that large time deposits or certificates of deposits issued in amounts greater than 100,000 have risen about $675 billion since the balance sheet unwind in June of last year. All right, we got Stephen Yates coming up next. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So today I'm pleased to announce we're working with Congress to invest $40 billion in our Pacific Islands Infrastructure Initiative. We call it the PI, anyway, it doesn't matter what we call it, but that's what it is. I was going to get back to acronyms, and I'm going to withstand not doing it.
Oh my gosh, guys, I can't. This is so bad.
It's a PGI, doesn't matter what we call it. That's what it is.
Well, what is it? Because we don't even know what to call it. What? Welcome back to the program. That's Joe. That's the President of the United States. I'm sure Xi Jinping is terrified. Golly, welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio show. You can watch the simulcast. On Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook. I got to get reaction from one of the most, like, just driest humored person that we know. It's why we enjoy his thoughts. So, Stephen Yates at Yates.com, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute, chair of the China Policy Initiative. Really insightful remarks there, Stephen, from the President of the United States. Just wanted to get your top line thoughts.
I don't know, Dana, in like a dozen years, I think you flat out killed me the most with that segment. That was just absolutely lethal, tripping over foot, tongue, hoof and mouth, everything in there kind of babble. I mean, I just have one fiscal rule. If you can't freaking say what the money is for, don't spend $40 billion. Yeah.
That's it. Yes, this is when I wish we had like a stadium amount of people as a
oh
applause.
My gosh.
Studio audience. That's
Pacific Island's great, but come on.
This is so bad. This was so bad. So this is what I love the most. It was a part of his charm offensive, Stephen. Oh. His charm offensive, hosting Pacific Island leaders in the United States. Reuters had the story. He was at the summit. And talking to these leaders to block further inroads from the CCP. But apparently he doesn't know what it is.
And it doesn't matter, apparently. He just sort of trails off. I mean, he'll give you a Medal of Honor. He'll give you $40 billion and just get disinterested halfway through and just walk off. So this, it's just mind-blowing. So yeah, all of whatever the strategic pop and sizzle was supposed to be in this, I've listened to people for a decade talk about, oh, we need to take care of the Pacific Islands. I'm sympathetic to some of those arguments. The Pacific is big. My grandfather fought in the Pacific in World War II. This can get strategically relevant to American families at some point. And we shouldn't cede this to Chinese aggression. And we should have our allies do more also. So, I mean, there's a case to be made. I wish somewhere in the gray matter of the president, he could have found the wherewithal to just say some of those things. And if he couldn't, how about pick someone who can to at least get up there and talk about it? And he can get out there like the old guy in the old British show, Are You Being Served, would come out and just shake his cane and go, you've all done very well, and just walk off. Because that's all he seems to be good for at this point. He can't even read two sentences of talking points for billions of dollars.
I mean, I'm looking at photos of this, and he was, I mean, he's sitting with all these leaders, and a lot of these people are, I think that there's a difference between being so old and then just being old. And also, I think he's had strokes. I don't want to speculate about that, but I mean, I feel like he has. I mean, we all have that person in our family. But all these other people, there's a ton of people, video and photo, that are sitting at this table with him that are probably his age, if not older. They're fine being able to express, you know, what their nations need and what they don't. And I think you made a phenomenal point that is not talked about enough, which is the importance of the Pacific. And like your grandfather, my grandfather was out there. He was on USS Alabama. And one of my favorite aspects of World War II history is all of the maneuvering that our naval forces had to do in the Pacific, and how each, whether it was Midway or Coral Sea or all of this, just the importance and how difficult it can be strategically to maintain enough dominance so that we're a force to be reckoned with, we're protected by the threat of violence. And that's ultimately what it is, peace through strength. And he's not delivering with that. And that's like what, to me, that's what these summits seek to reinforce. You're reinforcing and helping to cement further these relationships. It's not, we're not doing neocon stuff where we're building anybody. We're having these relationships with these nations, which is supposed to also help be a force multiplier in our efforts here. And this administration, it's like they just like, they put the least amount of effort, Stephen, into this, the least amount.
Absolutely. No, I mean, the doing this right kind of keeps the competition, the contention closer to China's shores, further away from our own. And it gets other people to feel like they've got skin in the game, taking up efforts ranging from clean communication systems to continuing to trade in dollars and following the standards that the free world has set, all kinds of things that would give us some hope of containing and pushing back against the malign influences of the Communist Party of China and any other bad actors, whether it's Russia, Iran, and others that want to jump into that hopper. So I mean, this is worthy tilling of land, albeit a giant big body of water. It is, I mean, we sacrificed so much to accomplish the victory in World War II and to hold freedom of navigation on these high seas. It was the foundation of a tremendous boom in global trade and commerce that led us to, air quotes, smart life today.
Exactly.
And this is possibly the dumbest way to save smart life.
Now, to this, we're talking with our good friend Stephen Yates. The Hill reports that the Philippines condemned China's They had a nice little floating barrier right there in the South China Sea, because they basically claim everything is theirs. They're like the seagulls in Finding Nemo. It's all mine, mine, mine. And the authorities in the Philippines condemned the China Coast Guard because they installed this floating barrier in this disputed territory. And it's like preventing their fishing boats from entering. I mean, this is, you know, it's disrupting, you know, the maritime activity here. Tell me about this, because It's like just little bitty, like incrementally, like doing these annoying things. If they're not sending planes over, they're doing these very annoying things just to like push it ever so close to that line.
Well, it's really close to sovereign nation shores. And so if anyone looks at where this stuff is physically taking place, it's a good ways from China's legitimate waters. And it's really encroaching on the Philippines. They're doing similar things in other parts of the South China Sea. They also increasingly use things that are not considered to be military vessels. And so it shows kind of the dual use of fishing vessels and other things that wouldn't be counted as part of the military, which means China's military force and its budget is bigger than the pencil necked experts have ever said, because they'll literally flow everything your way to overwhelm. That's what they're trying to do to the Philippines, to get them to back off. I mean, we've been blessed so far that with tremendously weak leadership out of Washington, Xi Jinping's China has been so aggressive that Southeast Asia has been cheesed off enough to stand up for itself for now. But it's hard for them to feel like they're doing it alone. We do need to get our act together and try to stitch together coalitions over there that don't rely on America to be the first sharp edge of the spear to push back on China.
No, definitely. I mean, hopefully we can see something like that. Last quick thing for you, China on the Brink from UK publication, Xi Jinping's new power plot, single man crisis, sends the economy into a free fall. We've talked a lot about the economy. And this is, I think, what a number of different geopolitical experts, however you want to put that, have said. I know their economy's floundering. Is it really so much just him? I mean, it sounds like, I don't know. I don't know how to take this narrative.
Well, I mean, I think if you're going to be dictator in chief and you're going to censor people for putting Winnie the Pooh images on social media and stuff like that, people can rightly blame you for anything that goes wrong in the country because you've intruded to such the micro level that you basically earn that opprobrium with when everything goes wrong. I think it's more of a system. The Communist Party has never been a gift to the Chinese people. It's been a disease that's been living among them. The only reason they have profited and modernized is because we showered them with money and technology and favorable access, and frankly, a lot of goodwill that maybe wasn't deserved by the government, but might have been deserved by the long-suffering people. But that jig is up at this point. The property sector in China looks to be very vulnerable to bubble-like conditions. A lot of economic experts, whether they're writing in British or American business publications, say that it's really at a dangerous level. I believe that to be the case. The problem with these bad regimes are that they stick around much longer than statistics say they should. And so I think we got a risk corridor here because the economy is weak. She will appeal to nationalism. She will pick fights with anybody else to draw attention away. And that's the problem we're living with South China Sea, Taiwan, and stuff coming to us.
Yeah, exactly. Well put. At Yates Comms on Twitter, our good friend Stephen Yates. Always so good to see you. Thank you so much for your expertise. I don't know what we'd do without you. We're sorry that we killed you with that soundbite, though.
Yeah, it wrecked me today. Thank you, Dan. Take care.
Thanks, you too. Yeah, that one was one for the books for sure. All right, as we get moving, we got today's stupidity on the way. I'm still trying to get over that.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Over the weekend, the president mentioned that food safety was also at stake. So can you give us some examples of how during previous shutdowns, the absence of food and environmental inspections impacted public health?
Well, I think you would want to visit with the folks at FDA. You need to understand that our food safety responsibilities are divided. The USDA has responsibility for meat, poultry, and processed eggs. FDA has responsibility for everything else. I can tell you that in terms of meat, poultry, and processed eggs, we will continue to have food inspection. But that may not necessarily be the case with the FDA. So I think you want to talk to the FDA. I'll show you how silly this is. If you order a pepperoni pizza, we're guaranteeing the safety of it because there's meat on that pizza. If you order a cheese pizza, you're looking at FDA.
You're going to die. So great. You just gave the illustration as to why big government sucks and we should abolish everything.
Yes.
Welcome back to the show. I mean, great way, great lesson. Isn't that Tom? His name rhymes with.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. It's Vilsack.
Okay.
It's Vilsack.
It's not what I was thinking.
V as in Victor.
I mean, the first three letters.
Vilsack.
Yeah. Say it again.
Vilsack.
I'm 10.
Also, on a meat pizza, I also get cheese. So is
it's just
he saying,
meat and sauce, King.
So is he saying the cheese on that meat pizza is better because it's not just cheese?
So I love it how food is not all regulated by the same thing. This is why big government is so stupid. USDA, they do the fish, the chicken, the meat, and then egg stuff. And then you have like all egg-related anything. And then the FDA does the dairy and then the seafood,
and the package,
and the
stuff.
Produce, yeah. The bottled water, and then whole individual eggs, Kane. So just to make that further stupid, the egg products, Kane, are USDA. The eggs themselves are FDA.
Okay.
That's like splitting the baby. That's how dumb government is. So you're telling me, yes, the whole egg is not considered an egg product.
I swear, this is, look, the idea of a free market.
Shut it down!
Is if there's a company out there putting out bad eggs or bad freaking pizza or whatever, the free market will no longer purchase from that entity, yeah. Therefore putting that entity out of business. We don't need these government.
Food policy is so agencies. Stupid, it makes me hate government more than I ever thought I could. Right. Than ever. Like, they going after, I mean, what, the organic food stuff? I'll never forget. A friend of mine was telling me Rossum, which was like the store. It was like a Sam's Club or a Costco that's like out in Hippie Land out in L.A. And they sell unpasteurized milk. You know what? You're going to a place that's literally called Rossum. You know what you're getting. Like, you literally become a member. You know that they have unpasteurized milk. You know you're purchasing unpasteurized milk. And I never will forget, like 6 or 7 years ago, they had like a SWAT raid of Rossum and full auto everything. They went out there and raided them because they were selling unpasteurized milk. Well, no joke, Sherlock. Good job, government. High five. They couldn't even high five themselves, meaning they couldn't even clap. This is how stupid this is. The stuff that they go after, like, I remember this story of this lady who, like, an at-home baker, and they were basically saying, oh, you can't bake stuff at home and sell it from your house. You have a dog. You got to get rid of your, shut up. Shut your mouth, your stupid big government mouth. Shut up. Oh my gosh. But this is how, so they're acting like Tom.
That's Vilsack.
Thank you.
Vilsack.
That guy, the FDA guy. Food and agriculture guy. He's saying, well, you know, if the Republicans don't fund our trainee surgeries, then we're going to shut everything down. That you're going to die because you're going to eat cheese that we can't protect you from. How are you going to protect me from cheese on my pizza, Slick? That's cheese we didn't get to look at. You also say cigarettes are fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. It's so dumb. Sometimes I cannot deal with it. Well, we're not gonna be able to protect you, Kane, from parts of your pizza.
Yeah.
You know, I like how he's like, that's all us. You know, if it's the meat in that, that's us. We can handle that. But, you know, if you're getting cheese on your pizza, you're dead.
So during a shutdown, we just need to order cheeseless meat pizzas.
Dude, I'm just gonna make it myself. I don't care. I would rather like risk it for the biscuit. Then deal with this nonsense. All right. Today in stupidity. This is like a whole episode.
We just heard a bunch of stupidity, but here we go. This is Karine Jean-Pierre telling us what kind of shutdown this will be.
Our latest polling shows that a higher percentage of Americans would actually blame the shutdown on the president and the Democrats, not on Republicans. Why do you think that is? And should the president be out there speaking more on this issue?
We're going to be very clear. This will be a Republican shutdown.
All right. So Republicans aren't putting pork into the CR.
You just heard Tom
Pork Vilsack.
You just heard him say that the cheese on your pizza is going to kill you, and that's because of Republicans.
Yeah. Maybe
you're going to die from your pizza.
Maybe the USDA controls the pork that goes in these CRs.
Yeah, I know, but they won't get that joke, Kane. They won't get it.
Vilsack.
Yeah, that's right. That's not what I was thinking, though. You know that. That does it for us today. Sign up for the newsletter. Heaven knows what's going to be in it when it comes out tomorrow or later tonight. God bless. Back with you tomorrow.